God the Father himself, in one single paragraph, reveals to this saint, mystic, virgin, stigmatist, doctor of the church, among many other things, Saint Catherine of Siena, the secret of sanctity, the secret of the spiritual life. I will read it for you. There are two things I want you to be listening for, and we will unpack everything that is there. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, this is from her only work, The Dialogue of Saint Catherine of Siena, which is a conversation that she has with God the Father. Back before any of the other saints and mystics that we have today, she lived around the 14 to 1500s. This incredible saint has so much to teach us. Listen to this. Thou askest me then for pains, so that I may receive satisfaction for the offenses which are done against me by my creatures. And thou further askest the will to know and love me, who am the supreme truth. Wherefore I reply that this is the way. If thou will arrive at a perfect knowledge and enjoyment of me, the eternal truth, that thou should never go outside the knowledge of thyself, and by humbling thyself in the valley of humility, thou will know me and thyself, from which knowledge thou will draw all that is necessary. No virtue, my daughter, can have life in itself except through charity and humility, which is a foster mother and nurse of charity. In self-knowledge, then, thou will humble thyself, seeing that in thyself thou dost not even exist. For thy very being, as thou will learn, is derived from me, since I have loved both thee and others before you were in existence, and that through the ineffable love which I had for you, wishing to recreate you to grace, I have washed you and recreated you in the blood of my only begotten Son, spilt with so great a fire of love. This blood teaches the truth to him who by self-knowledge dissipates the cloud of self-love, and in no other way can he learn. Then the soul will inflame herself in this knowledge of me with an ineffable love, through which love she continues in constant pain. Not, however, a pain which afflicts or dries up the soul, but one which rather fattens her. Now, some of the old English language may have thrown you off, but I want to unpack the two different things that you need to understand. Now, at the beginning, he talks about not going outside of knowledge of self. God the Father speaks to her about this cell, this room of self-knowledge. That the first thing that we need to learn is we need to remain in the room of self-knowledge. Now, as I was bringing this to prayer, God gave me 10 different names for it, some from scripture, some from other places and other saints where they write about these things, so you can understand really what it is. But essentially, the room or the cell of self-knowledge is the place in our inner being where we are alone with God, where we know ourselves without any lies, without any deceptions, without any anything. It's where we're truly ourselves. It's the innermost place. So let me give you these 10 different names that I came up with, and we will unpack the meaning behind them and the 7 effects that we will see in our lives if we remain in this room or this cell of self-knowledge. It is the room of truth. It's the hall of mirrors. It's the place where you are alone with God and Our Lady. It's our inner room. It's the chamber of whispers. It's the place of judgment. It's the warehouse of sins. It's the inner purgatory. It's the 7th castle. It's the portiuncula. Now, the room of truth, because in this inner place, we don't lie. We are completely ourselves. We are, as they would say, naked before God, no masks, no lies, no appearances. God sees you as you are, and you see yourself as you are. That's why it's called the Hall of Mirrors, because there, you're not lying to yourself. There's no pride. Pride is like a type of mask. It's complete humility. Did you hear how being in that self-knowledge, you will gain humility? You will see yourself as you really are, for instance, that you don't even exist, except if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God, you would literally fall into death and nothingness. It's the place where you're completely alone with God and Our Lady. It's like you could call it a bridal chamber. They use this reference in the scriptures, this bridal chamber, this place where only the bridegroom and the bride can go. No one else enters because it's like a sacred space. In this sense, no one else can enter that inner room. That's what Jesus calls it. Remember, He says, go to your inner room to pray. Well, He's talking about the cell of self-knowledge, this place that where you hear that inner voice of God deep in there. No one can go there. You can't take anyone there. Not even Satan can go in there, not even close. So this place is like a fortress. You could say that that's an 11th name, a fortress. In there, you are safe. It's just you and God. It's the chamber of whispers because that's where we hear God whisper. Do you remember when Elijah went out to hear the different voices and he was to discern who is the real God? And it wasn't in these violent voices. Rather, it was in that soft, subtle whisper. In our inner room, we can hear God more clearly. It's the place of judgment because when we are judged, who is it going to be? Us alone with Jesus, possibly our guardian angel, possibly our patron saint, possibly Our Lady, but it's just us and Jesus, no lies, and our life is completely revealed to us. In this inner room, you're already doing that. Your life is completely put before you because you're not distracted with the outer things. You're being there completely with your inner world, your past life, everything revealed to you. So you're already in your judgment if you go to this inner room. It's the warehouse of sins because since it's this place of judgment, all your sins are clear before you. You see everything you've ever done. You can't hide from them. You cannot run. You cannot hide. They're staring at you in the face. And there's, in some sense, there should be no fear because you see that Jesus sees them. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to be afraid of. You and Jesus are looking at your sins. And that's why it's the inner purgatory, because it's the place where God will purify you. That's the place where the purification is the most difficult. Hence, it's the seventh castle. The seventh castle is a reference to Saint Teresa of Avila. She talks about these different castles. First through the seventh being the deepest place in our soul where we are united to God. And that's where we are called to go. We're called to kind of pass through these superficial layers till we get to this deep place of union with God, where it's God in us and everything that we are and everything that we're not. The Portiuncula is a reference to St. Francis of Assisi. Now, St. Francis of Assisi in his poverty would look at some of the different religious orders and they would have their castles and their monasteries and whatever. And he would say, God, I don't want any of that. I just want this small little portion. And he referred to this very tiny chapel. It's still there in Assisi. And he said, this is the Franciscan chapel. This is all we're going to have, this tiny chapel. It's really small. There's actually a massive basilica, ironically, built around it. So he called it the Portiuncula, the portion, the small portion that we get, Franciscans, we get this tiny little thing here on earth. Well, this tiny little chapel in our souls is our tiny portion that God gives us, where God dwells with us, the Portiuncula. Now, if you dwell in this place, so the first part was remaining in the cell of self-knowledge. There we will gain in humility and charity and all these things. Then he talks about the blood. The blood of Jesus is the thing that shows us how much God loves us. So he speaks a lot about meditating on this, focusing on this, that the blood will be the thing that gives us the message and will set us on fire for the love of Jesus, the love of God. The more we meditate on the passion of Jesus, so you can, when he speaks about the blood, you can think about it in a larger context. Like, it's not just literally the blood of Jesus. It's also his sufferings, all that he went through in his passion, like that whole package. So when we remain in that cell of self-knowledge, reflecting on who we are and who we're not, and meditating on the blood and the sufferings of Jesus, these seven things will happen, and many more, but at least these seven. First, we will pray more effectively. When we go deeper in our soul, we step away from the distractions and it's easier to pray. We will grow in courage because when you're alone with God, you realize the truth. What do we have to be afraid of? God is deep inside us. God is, should be the most frightening thing in creation. He's the biggest boy on the block, the biggest kid in the playground. Why should we be afraid of anything else? And if you've learned to dwell with God one-on-one, nothing else really should scare you, if you think about that. So you'll grow in courage. You'll also prepare for your judgment because you are standing face to face with God in your inner room. There's nothing to hide. He knows everything. You know everything. Everything is revealed. Your judgment shouldn't be a surprise. What's the surprise there? You're going to know everything. You're going to have brought everything to God already. You're not living in the superficial. You're living in the absolute truth. And it will deeply prepare you for your judgment. It will give you stable inner peace because that inner place where God dwells doesn't change. It's the same as when you were a kid. It's the same now that you're however old you are. Think about that. It feels exactly the same. When I reflect on my deep inner world, it's I'm the same person. So it gives you this stability despite things outside changing. It will withdraw you from the world more easily if you dwell there because it's a beautiful place, a place where God dwells. Unconditional love, his mercy, his judgment as well, but he purifies you because it's that inner purgatory. And so you will be able to go away from the distractions of the world, maybe even be doing things that are worldly, like washing the dishes, cleaning, doing your work, etc. But you can still at the same time dwell in that inner place. It will increase your ability to discern because you'll be listening to the voice of God more often and more clearly. There'll be less kind of in between you and God, so you'll be able to know what is it that God wants me to do. And then the seventh thing is your love for the Lord will grow more because you'll be meditating on his blood. You'll seeing how much he suffered for you. You'll have that personal relationship that will be able to flow out onto others, and you'll grow in sanctity and love for the Lord, and you'll be a much more effective instrument for other people. So my friends, St. Catherine of Siena, God the Father gives her the secret to dwell in this room of self-knowledge, to meditate on the blood of the Lord so that we can be in that inner room and grow in those seven different ways and so many more. I hope this helped you. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next one.